Good morning. How's it going? Good? Sweet. All right, we're going to be in Exodus 13 this morning, starting in verse 17. Exodus chapter 13, starting in verse 17. But before we get there, I just want to pray with you guys, all right? Jesus, thank you so much for a new day, new mercies every morning. I pray that you speak to us, that our hearts, our eyes, our ears are alert to you, to your presence today and every day. And even this morning, help us to recognize that you're here with us in this room, that you're not a distant God. You haven't created us and then stepped back to watch us just fall into our own devices, but you are near, you are here. You've told us that you would be with us. Thank you for that. I thank you for your presence. In your holy, heavenly name we pray. Amen. Do you guys remember 2020? What a year, right? Do you guys remember the memes at the beginning of the year, like back in January? 2020 vision, the year of clarity. Things didn't seem so clear, right? Like, how many of you felt that? You know, that lack of clarity, that uncertainty. Some of us, even in this room, lost jobs. Some people lost loved ones, family members, friends. Some of you, maybe you missed prom or you didn't get to finish your season. We were all on Zoom links, which was just ridiculous, am I right? But like, I mean, maybe it wasn't too bad for you. Maybe it wasn't too hard. Maybe you just felt annoyed, frustrated, exhausted even. Maybe you saw the silver lining, but you were ready to move things forward. How many of you felt that, right? You were ready to move it forward? I mean, I know I was ready for 2021, but I really didn't know how to plan for 2021. There's just so much we don't know. Does anyone else feel that? Like that feeling in your gut, that chemistry lab of fear, grief, anxiety. It comes from uncertainty, doesn't it? And maybe it's just me. Maybe you can explain away 2020 in a well-crafted sentence. And if that's you, I'd love to see that sentence. But for the rest of us, uncertainty is the only certain word we can use to describe last year. In light of uncertainty, I've found myself grasping for control in a number of ways. Sometimes I try to blame others, because if I can push responsibility to someone else, then it helps me feel better about myself and more in control. Or sometimes I'll even try to sidestep reality, where even though the truth is right in front of our noses, we live into fantasy just so that we can feel better about what's going on in our lives. So we'll try to blame others, we'll sidestep reality. And then lastly, and I do this one all the time, we'll try to predict the future. Just think about how ridiculous that is. You know, because we're creating an opinion about the future without any responsibility of what will actually happen. And somehow by doing so, by claiming to understand or know or predict what's gonna happen next, we're gaining some semblance of control. We feel more secure. And that's not even to mention the ground level day-to-day stuff, right? The scrolling on Instagram more often, the binging Netflix, the binging Amazon shopping, the looking at your phone to try to stay up to date and informed on every single news thing that's possibly happening so that you know what's going on in the world. The buying as much toilet paper as you possibly can, the list goes on and on. If you've ever felt like you're not in control, welcome to the club, you're human. Uncertainty is actually a part of the life of humanity. And this may be new news to some of us, but I'm not so sure that uncertainty is something that God wants to rid of in your life this side of heaven. Yes, God is a God of clarity. He wants you to be clear on who he is, what he's done, and and what that means for your life. But I'm beginning to believe that uncertainty on this side of heaven, uncertainty in life, it's actually an opportunity. It's an invitation. In scripture, we see this pattern of uncertainty as well. And I just want to look at a few moments where we see God leading his people through seasons of uncertainty. And so we're going to look at Exodus 13, starting in verse 17. It says this: "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, 'Lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt.' But God led them," or led the people, "around by the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea," or the Red Cliffs, like we watched in the video. "And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle." So Pharaoh finally had enough. After experiencing tumultuous plagues, ending with the death of every firstborn Egyptian child, he had become disgusted at the sight of the Israelites and their leader Moses. So he let them go. Now, the quickest route to the promised land was through the region of the Philistines. It was basically a straight shot, a good day's distance for most of us nowadays. But God did not take them the quickest way. He took them the long way around, through the wilderness. Now think about this situation. The Israelites have been in captivity for 400 years. They had endured generations of pain, oppression, loss, abuse. And after 400 years of slavery to Egypt, God had finally freed them. Now read that verse again that we were looking at. If they had gone through the region of the Philistines, it says they would have turned back in fear. They would choose to go back to slavery at the sight of the Philistines. It was not time for them to face the Philistines, so he took them the long way around. He took them through the wilderness. It was actually in God's grace that he led them into the wilderness, a place where a lack of provision was known, where danger crowded your every move, where loneliness would potentially be even second nature. This was an act of God's grace. There are a number of things that we could learn from the Israelites' wilderness experience, but I just want to hone in on two. First, this was a season of preparation. So if you grew up in church, you probably know stories of Israel fighting against the Philistines, right? And in a lot of cases, they actually won those battles. But in this situation, God says that they're not ready. Now, what's interesting, if you look back at that verse, at verse 18, it says that the Israelites went out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. So they thought they were ready for battle, but they weren't. So God leads them into the wilderness to prepare them, to equip them for battle, to help them and transform them, to shape them, mold them into a people who were ready for the next season of their lives. It seems as though God was more concerned with who they were becoming than where they were going. Listen to me here. Who you are is far more important than where you are. So who are you right now? Who is God shaping you to be? Who has God called you to be? What legacy are you leaving? So this was a season of preparation, but it was too also a season where God was teaching them to look to his presence as their guide. Continue reading in the passage in verse 20. It says, "And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham and on the edge of the wilderness." So they're right there, right? And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. For their journey, God doesn't give them directions. He doesn't give them an address to plug into their phone so that they can know the way that they're supposed to go. He doesn't give them an itinerary with pit stops along the way. No, he gives them his presence. So what do they do? They follow the cloud. And sometimes they'd be following the pillar of fire or the cloud for a long time, just aimlessly, and then it would stop and they'd be there for weeks, just waiting. Moses, we've been here for so long. Like, where are we supposed to go next? What are we doing? Where are we going? Cloud's still here, guys. We go where he goes. So this was their wilderness experience. Being invited into being formed. Into preparation to prepare them for the next season of their lives. And an invitation into following God and trusting in his presence, the fact that he was with them and he was guiding them along the way. If you're like me, sometimes we go through wilderness seasons in life where, plainly put, we're just ready to move things forward, right? And in this passage, we see God leading his people through the wilderness. And I can't help but think that Moses and the Israelites, they had to be ready to just get through that season. So they went through the wilderness for 40 years. Like, I'm willing to bet that that preparation season, that season of learning to trust his presence and so many other things, but I'm willing to bet that they were ready to move things along. I've been in seasons like this as well. Wilderness seasons, where it's easy to become impatient with God, you know, because I think that I have all the right answers. I know the best way forward for myself, right? God, I get it. I understand what you're trying to teach me. Okay, can we just get to the next thing? Or sometimes I even try, or I mean, I start to doubt myself. Am I actually following you here? Have I heard your voice correctly? Like, Do I even really have faith? When all along, in the midst of my impatience, in the midst of my doubt, God is graciously leading me in the wilderness away from the hand of the Philistines that would send me back into slavery. God is inviting us into a season of growth, to trust his presence. And I think it's safe to say that this past year, 2020, COVID, was a wilderness season, right? And I think it's also safe to say that God's not done. Just because we're seeing things open back up, that doesn't mean that God's finished with his preparation. And pulling from this passage, perhaps God is extending the same invitation to us as he did in the past, to let God prepare you and shape you into the person that you're supposed to be for this next season. To pursue God's presence and trust him. Trust him as he's leading, as he's following you. And when I let these things simmer, you know, preparation or formation and looking to his presence, I can't help but think of Jesus. You know, Jesus was the only one who could truly and perfectly do these things. Have you ever tried to just trust in God's presence or let God prepare you? You're not gonna be able to do these things perfectly. It's really hard, but Jesus could. There's this moment in Mark 1 verse 12 where it says, the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. And in this moment, so Jesus has been baptized by John in the Jordan River, and then he goes into the wilderness, and there he is tempted by Satan. And he spends 40 days in the wilderness. Interesting, 40 days in the wilderness. The Israelites went through 40 years in the wilderness, so there's something happening here. There's a connection, right? 40 days in the wilderness, he gets out, and then if you continue in the story, you see that it's Jesus' first day on the job. And so much happens. Like, he heals people, he's preaching, there's ministry occurring, it's a massively filled day. And then you get to, I think it's verse 35, and it's the next day, so second day on the job. And what does he do? It says that he rises up early in the morning and he goes to a desolate place. That's the same word, wilderness, in the Greek. So 40 days in the wilderness, first day on the job, and then one day in the wilderness again. It seems like Jesus is supplementing his life with wilderness moments. Why would he do that? It's almost as if Jesus thought that the wilderness was preparing him for a life on mission with his Father. That he knew that there was something about the wilderness that was important. See, for most of us, when we think about Jesus in the wilderness, we think that it's a place of weakness. But actually, for Jesus, the wilderness was a place of strength. So we see Jesus preparing in the wilderness. But he also pursues God's presence. In John 5, verse 19, it says, truly, or Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. So the Son, he's referring to himself. I can do nothing of my own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Jesus looked for God's presence. And when he found it, he went and took action. Whatever God was doing, wherever he was moving, once he saw it, Jesus did likewise. I love that this is God's invitation to us here. You know, the invitation to preparation, to trusting his presence. He's inviting us to follow in Jesus' steps, to become more like him. He's actually inviting us into a relationship. See, in wilderness seasons, there's this profound opportunity to go more deeply into intimacy with the Father. Now, wilderness seasons aren't just an invitation, are they? It's also a challenge. If the invitation of the wilderness is relationship, then the challenge of the wilderness is control, or to release control. The challenge is to accept the reality that the Christian life is not some special formula for happiness in our lives. It's not some program focused on your self-improvement. It's actually a relationship of release. Dallas Willard, in his book Renovation of the Heart, uses the term abandonment when he talks about releasing control. He says, the secret to peace, as great apprentices of Jesus have long known, is being abandoned to God. We accept that we do not have in ourselves, in our own heart, mind, soul, and strength, the wherewithal to make this come out right, whatever the this is. So we entrust our souls to a faithful creator in doing what is right. What if we were to just lean into this? What if the people of God, filled with the peace of God, abandoned all outcomes to God while following his presence and preparing in the wilderness? Let me say that again. What if the people of God, filled with the peace of God, abandoned all outcomes to God while we were following his presence and being prepared? What would happen? I think we would become carriers of peace and hope to the world. We'd actually be able to be carriers of joy and power in the midst of a desert journey. We'd be able to bring water and quench the thirst of other people that are walking in this journey but have no hope. Yes, we plan. Yes, we work. But we do it with open hands. Will we learn to release control? What's coming for our lives in this next season? I have no idea. What's coming for America? What's coming for the world? I don't know. It feels really good to say that. I don't know. See, the words that the enemy intends to use to create anxiety and confusion in our lives, God actually means to bring us great peace and reliance on him. I don't know, but that's okay because he does. And we're trusting him. We're following his presence in wilderness seasons. Trusting that he's preparing us for the next thing. God is inviting us into a season of growth, to be transformed, to pursue him, to become like Jesus. This is an invitation into a relationship and a challenge to release control. The question is, what will you do with that invitation? In light of this, I just want us to step away and have two questions to actually process through as we move on throughout the rest of our day. In light of these two things that we've been thinking about, preparation and God's presence. One, who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Is it more like Jesus? Or is it something else? Why? So who are you becoming? And then two, what is one step I can take to become closer to the presence of God today? So one, who are you becoming? Is it more like Jesus or something else? Why? Two, what's one step I can take to become closer to God's presence today? Let's pray. Jesus, you were so kind. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you were near, that you were so close to us. Teach us to listen to the still small voice. You speak quietly to us because you were close to us. I pray that we slow down our lives enough to actually make space in our lives to be able to see you move, to hear you move, to experience you moving in us and through us. God, I pray that we begin to trust you. You are so trustworthy, that we would trust you as you shape us into the persons that we were created to be. And Lord, I pray that we just walk confidently with open hands. That as the pillar of fire and the cloud guide our lives, that we know that we are entrusting our lives to a good Father who loves his children. A good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Remind us of that. We love you, Lord. Amen.